Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. And we ask you to allow your word to the depths of our heart to change us, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. God, that we would not be conformed to this world, no. God, that we would learn of ourselves. We take your yoke upon us. We'd become the men and women of God you desire us to be, God, being light in this world, being a transforming powerhouse and not just another being floating around this stratosphere. God, be with us, please, and teach us the things we ought to know. God, and I do pray for some that might be here that this might be a hard lesson for. God, please, may this jagged pill go down smoothly because it's anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit. To the name of Christ we pray, amen. The Apostle Paul wrote this to a young pastor, trying to explain to him how to run a church and how to keep track of all the little churches in this particular area. And one of the things that he says to him is in verse 9 and 10, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Please give me your attention. He explains to this pastor, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell people who have jobs how to work good. This is how you work good. Now, why would that be important? Why would that be necessary? What is more important? What is more important is to be a witness everywhere you go. And what better witness do we have than... I had one time this kid came out to my farm, and he was leaving for college in a couple of months. He was a football player, but he wanted a job part-time. And I didn't have anything for him, but I noticed he had a shirt on that said O-W-E. He was this kid from Fort Lauderdale. He went to Fort Lauderdale High School or something like that. You could tell he was respectfully, he was ghetto smart, you know what I mean? He was from the hood. But his shirt said O-W-E, and right underneath it said outwork everyone. And I said, son, I love that shirt. And he said to me, you know, in his little southern type of ghetto draw, he said, man, my mama taught me a long time ago, I want something, I gotta go out and get it myself. Ain't nobody give me nothing. And I was like, son, I'm so impressed with you, man. He's like, yeah, man, I'm going up to this camp up there and I'm gonna be playing football on their team. And the kid never came back, so I hope he got on the team. I don't remember his name or nothing. But I said, you know, where'd you get that shirt? He goes, I make them shirts, I sell these shirts. I said, man, will you bring back about 10 of them to me as soon as you come back? And he did. 2 days later, he showed up and he had, and I said, I'll just take them all. Just everyone he brought with it. I took them all, gave them out to everybody. Outwork everybody. Now, here's the crazy thing. I don't know whether the kid was on fire, born again. He let me pray for him and all that stuff. But I tell you what a witness. God bless you, Johnny. He showed up on time. He was willing to work. Told me what was up. I'm leaving in a few months. Well, I can't use you if you leave in a few months. I can't train you just to lose you. But I do appreciate you being here, and I love that shirt. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul is telling to Titus. I want you to explain to these folks. Exhort. That word exhort is encourage strongly. Like, come on! Get out there! That when you work for somebody, the best witness for Christ you have is to outwork all of them. Now, before we get detailed into that, I want to stop for a second. You see where it says bondservants and masters? Some people get a little miffed, almost a little annoyed. If you have a beginner's overview of Scripture, you might have heard the criticisms that the Bible was pro-slave. You see, there are slaves in the Bible. And because we have this idea that slave is like the most horrible thing that's ever happened to a human being, we immediately use that as a reason to be a hater of all things biblical. Some people do that. There is no question that slaves are in the Bible. And there is no question that the Bible is pro-slave. But let me explain to you first. the generations following are the ones that ruined that whole slave terminology. In the Bible, and now one day, a couple months ago, I went through every scripture verse, all through Exodus, all through Leviticus, where it talks about it, so I'm not going to, because I'm going to stick to, you'll see. But in the Bible, a slave was somebody who was, quote unquote, down on their luck. Somebody who did not have, whose resources ran out, who made some bad business decisions. Maybe they were, whatever it was that happened in their life, through their fault or not, who could then go to a relative, a friend or a neighbor, and knock on their door and say, excuse me, do you need a slave? And that person would say, yes, absolutely, I can use a slave. You can work in my fields. Now, there are very specific rules that God gave for the handling of your slaves. And most important was on the seventh year that they worked for you, you were to set them free and give them all the things that they needed to start their life over again, including if they married one of your daughters, including if they had servants of their own that worked under them. You were to send them out every 7 years, send out all your slaves, set them free. That was what being a slave in biblical times was supposed to be. Now, we wrecked slavery as human beings. First, it started obviously in the continent of Africa, and then it spread to South America. The Spaniards were terrible slave traders and owners. Worse than them were the Asians. And then finally, it got adopted into the New World, into America, some 200 some odd years ago. But thank you, Lord, that we had strong men, wise men, men willing to die. 600,000 people died in a civil war in the United States of America to set slaves free once and for all. Took some states to catch up, took time, took the enforcement of very specific laws, but make no mistake about it. There has only been one country on the face of this planet that has ever said slavery is wrong to the point where we're willing to die to prove that, and that's the United States of America. Because in right now, you can give God a hand on that one for sure. Because in Africa and in Asia right now, people are still legally, governmentally enslaved, and it needs to stop. In China specifically, slave labor is rampant. The Uyghurs, if you don't know who the Uyghurs are, look them up. They are a sect of Muslims who, once you found out in China that you are a Uyghur, you get put into re-education concentration camps and used as slave labor. Anyway, I don't want to stay too far there. But go back to biblical times. 7 years is up. You served your master well. You like your master. As a matter of fact, according to the Bible, you could say, Master, I love you, and I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay here forever. I have a life here. This has been great. And here's what he will do. He will say, okay, let's call for the elders of the city, and all the elders gather around, and they go to your front door. Let's say this is your front door. Let's say this is your front door. And you go like this, and you put your ear on the door, and they take an awl. You guys know what an awl is? Take a thing about a screwdriver that has a pointy end, like an ice pick. And they go like this, and they take your ear, and they put it on the door, and they tap a hole in it. And then they give you a golden ring, and you put it in your ear. And now you go from a slave to a bond servant, a willing servant. No, I was a slave. Now I'm willingly serving this man. And then there would be blood, your blood, literally building the house. Now, the shadowing of Christ and him building the house and the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, let's not go through that now. I just want to drop that in your ear as something to think about. But now you are what's called a bond servant, and you work for this man. And now you're there willingly. But something happens in the heart of workers. Something crazy happens. So, before we even go there, let's go back to Scripture. The Apostle Paul says, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, That word pilfering in verse 10 means to hold back. If your master, let's change the terminology since it's a little bit, language has changed. If your boss told you, hey, I want you to go collect five bags of grain, take it to market, sell it for the per pound price, and bring back the money, he says, don't pilfer some of it. If you sold five bags for $5 a bag, make sure you bring back $25. Don't be a pilferer. Showing all good fidelity. If anybody here knows anybody that's anybody that was in the Marine Corps, they always say semper fi, always faithful. The word fidelity means to believe in something. Fidelity, I believe in what's going on here. Now, why is this something that I seem to be a little bit more passionate about? It's a crazy thing, you know. Growing up, I had so many jobs. I was fired from every job, and most of them I got fired for not being able to get along with my superiors. I had a, believe it or not, I know it's hard to see looking at this passive guy that stands before you, but I had an authority issue. What do you call it? Huh? No, authority issues. Complex. I had a complex with people that are in authority over me. I didn't like them. And I always pilfered. And I always talked back. So this Bible verse was for me. But the crazy thing happened that kind of led me to start my own business some 30 years ago. And now here it is more than 30 years later, and I've got some 30 some odd employees, and I've literally had hundreds of employees over the last 25 years. And I've learned a few things. So now, because the Apostle Paul exhorted Titus to exhort me to tell people about being a good employee, I'm going to tell you first. Before I tell you about being a good boss, I'm going to tell you about being a good employee. People come to work for you, and they think that the money flows down from some bank or something like that. They don't realize that every single thing that's in your shop, you paid for. Like, I did not get this workbench didn't get handed down from generation to generation. I actually had to pay for it. When I went to Costco and I told them I owned a business, they didn't say, oh, you can have 3 extra boxes of paper towels. So that way when your employees want to wipe their faces and they go like this, and they throw 5 paper towels away, it doesn't cost you anything. No, that's not how it works. Everything costs money. An employee here, if you want to show your boss that you are worthy of an advance, a raise, more authority, if you want to show to your boss that you will be the kind of employee that will help this company, number one, learn this. On time is late. You're supposed to be there at 9, get there at 8:45. Impress your boss. And do yourself a favor, don't clock in till 9. You mean I'm supposed to work 15 minutes for free? It ain't free, you're doing it for the Lord. You're gonna clock in, and every time you clock in, you say, Lord, this is for you. That is crazy. And here's this, leave 15 minutes late. Oh, I should work 30 minutes a day for free. It's not free. God's keeping track. I can give you 5 different verses where it says the Lord will reward you. The Lord is keeping score. The Lord. Well, what if I don't want to advance in my workplace? What if it's just a dead-end job? Well, what about your relationship with Christ? Do you want to be a witness for Christ employee? There's a crazy thing that happens. Let me tell you this weird thing. Does anybody not know? Show of hands real quick. Does anybody not know what a dopamine ping is? Hands, dopamine ping. Okay. In your pituitary gland, it releases all kinds of different hormones, pheromones. It releases all kinds of chemicals. One of the things that the chemicals that is released is called dopamine. When you do something exciting, interesting, you get what's called a dopamine ping. For some people, it's what makes them drug addicts, it's what makes them pornoholics, because dopamine is released into their brain. Now, Facebook, YouTube, they have put sociologists on this for the past 10 years, trying to find out what makes a dopamine ping in your mind visually. They have intentionally hired sociologists, socio-professors, to get you to look at your phone. Watch this. How many of you guys cannot stand to see that little red circle with a number in it saying that you have unanswered messages, and it doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing, you have to stop and get rid of the red dot? Dopamine ping. You've been tricked. There's this amazing show on Netflix called Social Dilemma. You all got to watch it, except for the last 30 minutes is when it turns to crap, because they lie. The last 30 minutes, since all of them have sold out to the social media companies. But for the first hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes of the show, you will learn more about how these people twist and turn through means that only they know how to keep you online, get you online, and keep you spending money with them. You with me? Well, what does this have to do with our study? Some employees, starting with young men, let me step one step back. When I was in the street, I had an uncle. Testimony. I come from a Sicilian family, a Sicilian background. My mother's Jewish, my father's Sicilian, therefore I could never be what's called in the family, made. I could be a street guy, I could be in, but not with. And this is all language that I could explain to you at another time. My uncle, who was full-blooded Sicilian, he was with a different family, and he comes and he says to me, he said, "Ryan, let me tell you something. I'm in this life 30 years. I'm gonna die in this life. This life ain't for you. If you worked as hard doing legal stuff as you are doing illegal stuff, you'll make more money and you won't have to worry about a knock on the door in the middle of the night." And at first, I was like, "Look, Uncle Frankie, this is just, this is where I'm at. This is where I was born for." And he used to go, he used to wave his finger back and forth like this. He'd go, "Ryan, this ain't for you. Why do you think your father married a Jew? This life ain't for you." And it's a crazy thing. Some men, some young men, are so infected with the sin of sloth, the desire for a dopamine ping, that they will lie, cheat, steal, make up anything so they don't have to work. Meanwhile, if they just worked as hard at working as they do at avoiding work, they'd have everything they needed and more. And you can't tell them. And I'm not even, listen, there's a word lazy. I'm not even talking about the word lazy. I'm not even talking about the word lazy. This is sloth. This is something I have got to get home and get on my game. My guys are with my team, my video game. They will stay up all night. It doesn't matter. 2, 3, 4 in the morning. They know if I stay up any later, I won't be able to get up for work tomorrow. And they can't stop themselves. The dopamine ding, ding, ding is all they desire. And because, again, not lazy, I wouldn't call these men lazy, because they're working hard. But they are slothful. They are foolishly choosing a life that will not bear fruit. And let me tell you something, guys. And here's one of the things I've learned. They don't even know. It's okay, it's another preacher you listen to. You're cheating on me, are you, D? Nice, Deb, nice. Cheating on me, huh? All right. Hey, this ain't no joke. It's an epidemic. This is an epidemic. They've been bought and paid for by social media, by video games. It's one of the greatest things that ever happened to this country. You might not even understand this, was mixed martial arts. Mixed martial arts gave young men a reason to work hard. Do you understand that there is nothing harder to do than mixed martial arts? Forget about jujitsu. Forget about wrestling. Forget about boxing. Forget about Muay Thai. Forget about conditioning. Try doing all of it. And men watch these guys, which are virtually supermen. These are supermen. You watch these guys, some of them, and you're like, that is just the most incredible thing I've ever seen. And unless you've ever done even one of the disciplines of martial arts, you cannot imagine that some of these men get good at 4 and 5 disciplines to the point where they can compete on that international, world-class. And what's happened is young men are seeing it and go, man, I want that. And they're flooding the gyms. Brazilian jiu-jitsu gyms, there's dozens of them in this neighborhood, in Broward County, and they're packed out, as well they should be. But there's a lot of work yet to do. There's a lot of work to do, because I am supposed to exhort men to be obedient to your masters. Show up to work. Work your butt off. And doggone it, listen, you want to know what bothers us bosses worse than anything else, employee here? You know what bothers us worse? Man, I hate this. I got this kid. He comes to work for me, right? And he's like, yeah, I'm from Texas, and I came down here to be a fighter. I was like, well, you know, you got a job. Man, I love young fighters. You know, you want to work? You know, most Texans I met, I mean, I hate to be, you know, stereotyping, but most Texans I met, man, most of them, they work, man, you know, unless they're from, like, Austin or something like that. Did I offend the Austinites here or something? So I hired a kid, and he's a good worker. He's not a bad worker. But you know what he's doing? He's like with the employees that are cut-ups. He hangs out with the guys that every time I'm not looking are like cutting it up, making jokes, ain't working, sitting down on their phone, put their headphones in. Like, I'm going to make up a name, and I promise you this is a made-up name. Ralph. 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 Will somebody tell Ralph to turn his music off? What's up, boss? He's like, Ralph, I called you 15 times. I got my music in. Was that your excuse for not paying attention? I got my music in? I said, me and you need to go for a walk, Ralph. So I take Ralph for a walk, and I say, Ralph, when you came down here, you told me you were chasing your dream. You want to be a mixed martial artist, right? Yeah, yeah. He said, now, when you need to leave every day to go train for 2 hours, I let you go, right? Yeah. So when you need extra hours, you need extra money, I let you come in, right? Yeah. Now, at the bottom of that piece of paper I give you every week, whose name is that? It's your name, boss. I said, then how come you're not on my team? I don't understand. How come when I'm not there, you're not telling everybody, cut it out, stop playing games. Just because boss ain't here don't mean you get to play. How come you're the first one to cut up? How come you're the first one? How come me, I support you? You think you can get this gig somewhere else? Is that what you think? Because you can't. Nobody is going to put up with this. Oh, boss, take it easy. Don't tell me to take it easy, because there's one thing I hate above everything else. It's disloyalty. Oh, now you want to cry? Now you want to weep? I'm dead serious. I'm telling you an actual conversation. I said, I'm not interested in your tears. I don't care. They mean nothing to me because my tears don't mean nothing to you. You're here to work. And if you don't like it, you can pack your stuff and get out right now. And I said, matter of fact, here's what I'm going to do. As soon as you leave, I'm getting your daddy on the phone, Ralph Sr. Because Ralph called me up. And when you blew out your arm and needed to work anyway, even though you were short an arm, I kept you on. And I said, don't worry, I'll find another place for you in the company. But I bet if I get on the phone with Ralph Sr. now, because he called me up and make, oh, please don't fire my boy Ralphie. He's moved on. He's chasing his dream. I bet I tell him, hey, man, I got to let your boy go. And if he says, why, Ryan? I'm going to say, you got a terrible attitude. You always got a look on your face like you've been done wrong. When I'm not there, you ain't working as hard. You're cutting it up with the fellas. I'm the one that keeps this kid going, and this is what I get back from him. I guarantee you, Ralph Sr. will say to me, I know he's been like that his whole life. Can't tell the kid nothing. He don't listen to nothing. He won't change. He's got everything he ever dreamed of, and it ain't enough. I said, what do you think about it? I said that to Ralph. So what do you think when I call Ralph Sr.? What's he going to do?
I don't know.
I bet you do know. I bet this is the poison that you drank a long time ago, that you think somebody owes you something, don't you? Everybody's got it like this. Now, I'm telling you this story, not to complain about my employee, because I didn't fire him, he's still there, and I love the kid. But my job is to exhort bondservants to be obedient. And I'm telling you, if you're here and you're a worker, I'm telling you the things that burn our butts. Business owners here, can I get an amen? It was John Corson, very famous preacher in the Calvary Chapel movement. He said, an excuse is a lie stuffed in the skin of a reason. An excuse is a lie stuffed in the skin of a reason. And guess what? We don't care if there was traffic. We don't care if your phone didn't get charged. We don't care if your alarm didn't get turned on. We don't care if you had to stay up all night. We don't care if you had to go to DMV in the morning. We don't care. Get up early, take care of your business, show up to work on time. Because we're a business, we're not a corporation, we're a family business. And when you ain't there, somebody else got to handle your business. And when you don't show up, we got to pick up the slack. And besides, if you like your job, don't you want the company to do good? So that way we could all keep getting paid and do this. And if you don't like your job, for God's sakes, quit! Go collect unemployment like everybody else! I told this kid, quit, man. Please. As a matter of fact, I make it easy. You're fired. Go collect unemployment.
Oh, man. Bro, I can't not have a job.
You don't have a job! You're a lazy, lazy human being. You think I exist so that you could take a 45-minute lunch. No, we eat lunches. It's 30 minutes.
Oh, but I had to drive to the store. I had to pick up the food. And then when I came back, that's when I started eating.
I'm not lying. This is what I hear.
I had one kid, no lie. It's been years. But I had one kid say this to me. This is great. Hey, boss, I need more money. And I said, yeah, and I need more work. He said, you pay me more money, I'll give you more work. I said, no, that's not how it works. You give me more work, I give you more money. He goes, not going to happen. I fired the kid. His mom comes back she says to me, my son says you fired him. And I said, yeah, did he tell you why? He says he asked you for a raise, so you fired him. Is that all he told you, did he? So I explained to his mom what he said, and she looked at me, and then she looked at him, and she said, you're an idiot. You deserve to be fired. She looked back at me and she said, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. And then as they're driving, I literally watch her look at the kid and go, where did you get this from? Who told you that's how you talk to a boss? Like, I realize I'm not the only one with the authority figure complex here. I realize that, but I'm trying to help you employees here. You employees here, okay? You know what 40 hours a week is? Make believe. I got a better idea. Go start your own business. Try that 40-hour a week thing, and then come back. Let me know how that worked out for you, all right? Flat tires, doctor's appointments, fight with your significant other, your sick pet. Oh, here's one of my favorites. Oh, I got out of my other job really late last night. I said, one dude, you're moonlighting. Huh? Yeah, they used to call that moonlighting. You're working another job, you're giving them your energy, and you're giving me the leftovers. You're fired. What? Yeah. I needed more money. You should have worked harder here. Because as a business owner, as a small business owner, please understand this. As a small business owner, I can't wait to progress somebody. Begging for somebody to work. I have ads on Better Team. I have ads on Monster. I have ads everywhere. Employee needed. I called social media. I need somebody to handle the social media. Make films, cut the films, right? I need somebody. A guy called me up. This is an honest, true story. If any of my employees are here heard this, it's hilarious. Yeah, I got your resume off a Better Team. My name is Ryan with Underground Reptiles. I was calling about the job. I sent you a resume about the job. He says, yeah, are you, because this is a New York number. You still in New York? Yeah, can I do it remotely? I said, how are you going to film remotely? He goes, I don't know. Two weeks ago, I needed somebody, a girl to work in the office, just so. Answer phones, print some labels, put an ad on Better Team, start getting resumes, start calling them up. This is familiar. This is not one and done, this is many. Now, my job is not here. Please guys, understand this. I'm not here complaining about people. I'm not trying to entertain you. If you're one of these people, we're laughing at you. Wake the crap up. Figure this out, okay? Don't serve the dopamine ping in your brain. If you want to be just another guy that sits around getting a government check, well, fun time. You know what that's called, my brothers and sisters? Slavery! That's what it's called. Slavery. That is true slavery. And if you want the facts on that, I'll give you the facts. Right up until the 70s, when FDR enacted welfare, black people in America were doing better than any other group of people. They were gaining in wealth and power more than any other group of people in all of America. And in 70, whatever it was, 60-something, when FDR put welfare into place, it ended black people. Ended them. They went back to slavery. The foolish ones that went on welfare. Don't believe me? Look it up for yourself. And then come tell me I'm wrong.
So I'm trying to shake somebody here because this is what it says. Exhort. That word exhort is what I'm doing today. If you're new to our church, man, I don't always, I do yell and scream like this a lot. But not always. Not always. But I'm trying to wake up. Guys, please, let me tell you what God has done for me. I moved down to Florida in 1988. I was homeless. I lived in a 73 Monte Carlo. I slept on my cousin's couch. I slept on my grandmother's couch. I slept in my car. And sometime when I turned 24, 25, I realized I'm working so hard not to work. If I would just put the work in to work. And I started my own business. And I started going out into the Everglades and collecting snakes and finding pet stores and sending them up north. And then I went into this guy and I said, hey, you have anything I can do? I'll clean up your warehouse. $5 an hour. I don't care. And that's when I started cutting my teeth on knowing what it is to be an employee. And now I have a multi-million dollar a year business. It took 30 years. It took the support of my wife and children. It took a lot of work. A lot of failures. I failed more than I succeeded. So I got this call. Hey, I got your resume off a better team. Yeah, I was looking for office work. And I was like, I got office work for you. Come on down and do an interview. Let me give you the address. I know where the store is. Oh, no, it's not the store. The store is on Powerline Road in Deerfield. I'm out in Parkland. Oh, yeah, that's too far. I said, Parkland is only 4.5 miles west of Powell. I didn't want to drive that far. And I'm telling you something. I've done that call 10 times. That's not one, oh, this kid was crazy. Huh? Multiple times. If this is you, please be shamed and embarrassed. But make a commitment with this that this isn't going to happen anymore. I wish I remembered that kid's name. Outwork everyone. Outwork everyone. Tell you about my son-in-law, Austin. Came to work for me at about 11 years old. 11 years old. His mom has him by the ear, literally. I heard you're a Christian. My son is a homeschool kid. He's a Christian. He needs a job. Would you give him a job? Yeah, I can't wait to hire him. Does he speak for himself? Hi, what's your name? My name's Austin. Nice to meet you. He had the squeakiest little high-pitched voice you ever heard. Your son needs a major injection of testosterone, I see. And you know what? That's exactly what he needed. So he started work for me, first on a volunteer basis. Then as the years went by, and he went off into his little pot drug world for a little while, caught him stealing from me a bunch of times, fired him, he came back, but he kept coming back. And then eventually I said, man, there's a young man under here with fortitude. Because when he put his mind to work, he outworked everyone. So I brought him to my house. Me and my wife, we moved from West Palm to Parkland in 2005 when the property values were still manageable. We paid like $350,000 for a house. Like, what? Now that's cheap, right? Back then it was, how are we going to pay this thing, man? I don't know how we're going to do it. And I put him in the backyard, cutting down trees and dragging him out, and infused him with testosterone. And I'd say to him things like, it's make him so mad. And I go, Austin, that's not manly. Ryan. Well, his voice got a little deeper after that. Him and my son, we had hurricanes, and we cut trees in pieces, and we dragged them out in the yard.
my son would sit on the back of my pickup truck and he'd have his bow and arrow because Lord of the Rings was really big back then, so he got really good with a bow and arrow and he'd shoot the different trees and stuff, and we'd drag the trees out. And Austin never asked what time to get there, never asked what time to leave. He'd sleep there. He didn't care. He just worked. And then when we started the church in 2006, I believe it was, he had just kind of got straight. No more drugs, no more. It's like, I just want to help with the church. And we were in this, the hotel, the Hilton, now I think it's the Double Trees, the Hilton Hotel, and we rented the rooms in there, and he'd show up, he'd come to my house, he'd show up, and he'd help set the chairs up and help the sound system, and me and Marty would teach Austin how to do the sound system and the chairs and set them up. And he got serious about the Lord immediately. Never missed a service, man. You could see God was forging something special. And then some well-intended people say, hey, you know, there's something about you. I want to put you into Bible college. Oh, there's this ministry in Michigan, man, where they do discipleship. We want to send you there. We want to pay for it. And Austin will come to me and go, Ryan, this family, they came to me and they said, you know, they want to support me. So, you know, Austin comes not from the most stable home environment. You know, they've been through divorce and brokenness. And then there's a lot of issues like all of us, you know. And I said to him, you're in ministry. Tell them thank you so much for thinking about you, but you're already in ministry. And then his family would come to him and they'd say, hey, when are you going to get a real job? You know, you can't work in that pet store your whole life. There's no future in working in a pet store. And he'd say to me, Ryan, you know, my family thinks I should, you know, get a trade or anything like that. And I'd say, you believe in me? Yeah, I believe in you. Just keep walking forward, son. You just keep doing what you're doing. The money will come. And I helped him sign for his first vehicle, which was a little Red Ranger. He drove that little pickup truck until it was in the ground. And he used it to work, man. He was a worker. Outworked everyone. And then when he was 19 years old, me and my wife gave him a couple of bucks, and he bought his first house. I think he was 20. Was it 20 when he finally closed on that baby? 20 when we closed on the house, $98,000. You want to know how crazy that was? He was 20 years old, and 3 days after he closed on the house, I said, where are you? He goes, I'm at my mom's house. I'm like, Austin, you own a house now. Yeah, but like, I don't know what to do. There's like, there's no water, the water's turned off, and like, there's no, I'm like, Austin, get a sheet. Get a pillow, and tonight you sleep in your house. That's your house. And you turn the water on. You get it put in your name, but the electricity, it's like, it's going to be like $300 a month. No, it's not. And you'll get it. Don't worry about it. I don't make that much money. You'll get the money. And more every step along the way. You're listening? And now he lives in a multi-million dollar home that they bought a whole lot less, and he's done nothing but work to fix it up. Him and my daughter eventually got married, and they sold that house and bought one up in, what's that area? Lighthouse Point. And then sold the one in Lighthouse Point, and now bought this beat up old rundown house and property in Parkland and cleaned it up and fixed it up, and the property value, just watch it go up, up, up. Outwork everybody. And guess what, guys? Guess what? He ain't got no college education. I barely graduated high school. I don't even know. Did Austin ever graduate? Did they just throw him out? And then let me tell you my favorite story about Austin and Elena. Austin's mom wound up having brain cancer. She had a tumor in her brain. It was inoperable. So you know what they did? They moved her into their house. And every day they ministered to her. Until one day, they went in her room to pray over her. And she was making guttural, crazy noises. And in their arms, as they prayed for her, she breathed her last and went home to be with the Lord and to be soon with their first child, who went home before them because Elena had lost the baby. And we knew exactly why we lost that child, because God didn't want her to be alone. And I said to Austin, that is one of the manliest stories I've ever heard, of a man who will hold his mother in her dying last breath and say, I will see you again soon. And then he came right up here where I'm standing and did that funeral. I said, hallelujah. He's a man who will outwork anybody. So if you're here, I encourage you with everything in me. If I said some stuff to you today that hurt your feelings, I don't apologize. If I said some stuff to you that poked you, I don't apologize, because the Apostle Paul told Titus to tell me to tell you. Don't steal from your boss. Obey your boss. Loyalty, fidelity. You want to further yourself? You don't know my boss. Yeah, but I do know your God. Exaltation comes neither from the east or the west or the north or the south, but it comes from the north. God raises one up and brings one down. That's it. I don't care whether your boss is the biggest stingy jerk in the world like me. You let God see you work. He'll bless you. You work as unto the Lord, the Bible says. And he will bless you. I had other stuff planned, but I've gone too far as it is. So I'm going to leave it there, and let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the opportunity to hear your word. And God, for the topical study which we learned today, may it sink deep into our hearts, and may the testimony of this slothful, lazy bum, this illegal criminal, of what you did in my heart, in my life, and what you have given me to give others, may that testimony destroy the works of the devil. What you have done, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. We love you. And we lift these things up to you for the glory of the kingdom. Amen. Amen. Amen.